Welcome. I hope you're all doing really well. So happy to be here with all of you today for our business Q&A call. Although, of course, if you have any client issues coming up that you want to ask as well, or group facilitation or anything like that, this is the time, this is the place to look at those pieces, to look at marketing pieces, to look at messaging pieces, to look at systems pieces, to look at sales pieces, anything that you need today to help you move forward. But before we get there, let's take a couple of minutes and connect in energetically, and do a little energetic shifting, if you will. And so I invite you to close your eyes, feel the ground or the seat beneath you, and even if you've got a million things to do today, maybe you've already done a million things today, whatever it is, just give yourself the gift right now of bringing yourself fully present. Well, for me, one of the ways I do this is I just invite any extra energy in my head space, which can often happen, too much energy in the brain. Just invite that extra energy to move downward into my body, so that I'm not just operating from my head, but I'm also showing up with my heart, my soul, my body. I'm just letting that energy move to the places that need it. And if there's any extra energy, just letting it move straight down through your feet or through your seat, all the way down into the earth. Letting this shifting of energy help you bring more of you here. As you breathe and you inhale and you exhale, use the breath to bring more of you here. We want all of you, not only here on this call, but all of you operating in your business. All of your power, all of your energetic presence, all of your curiosity, your passion. And so as you breathe in this way, also set the intention to just call home back to yourself, any parts of you that you've left in other places that you know you need right now. Come back home to yourself. Pick up the pieces. Call them home to you. And just let the breath and the act of the inhale really support that, the calling in. And let the act of the exhale support the integrating it in. Breathing in, calling back the parts. You don't even need to know what the parts are that you've left in other places. You don't need to name them necessarily. Just call them back. And then the exhale, let them settle in, let them integrate in. Inhaling, calling all of you back home. Exhaling, letting all of you settle in. Maybe even as you do this, you find yourself opening up a bit more, opening up energetically. Maybe your chest opens up just a little bit more. Maybe you notice that your crown chakra at the top of your head, the crown of your head, opens up a little more to connect with spirit. And then from this place, I invite you to connect in with the feeling of being in love with your business and with your work. Oftentimes we move through our days and there is much to do on the to-do list. And also we tend to focus on all the things we don't love and the pressures and the expectations and the fears. This is human nature and it is okay, but we want to just make a little bit of time and space to love up our business and to remember to be in love with our business, with our work. And so I just invite you to put a hand on your heart and feel the love, maybe the love for your clients, maybe the love for your content and the things that you help people with or the things that you teach. Maybe you have forgotten that you're in love with your office space, with the intuition that you use in your work. Maybe you're in love with the fact that you can create your own schedule and have agency as an entrepreneur. If you've got a team, maybe you're in love with your team. Maybe you're in love with social media and your social media presence or community. Find the love. Be in the love. Let your business know that you're not only looking at it as like the pressure thing, but you're loving on it big time. And let it love you back. Feel the love of this entity that is your work. Feel it loving you back. This is such a vital principle to growth, is love. And from that place, we'll take a deep breath in and out, opening your eyes, bringing yourself fully present to our time together. Take a moment to jot down either just how you feel right now or any insights that came to you through this opening visualization, anything that feels important. And then make note of what it is you would like to receive from our time together today. Whether you ask a question or not, set an intention right now for our time together. What's your intention? What is it that you would like to receive? What would be valuable for you? And with that, I will open up the floor to hear from you. So, Star 2, what can I help you with today? Kara.
Okay. Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm in love with the fact that I'm, like, putting myself out there at the beginning of this year.
I noticed. I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, Kara, but I caught one of your posts on Facebook, and I was like, yes, this. It was like you were really showing up, and I could feel it. I could feel it.
Oh, thank you. So this idea is not as fully formed as I would have liked it to be, but I'd love to just, you know, talk it out a bit with you, and I can keep working on it. So as part of my launch for my program that's starting the 18th of February, I wanted to do, I think it would be like a 1 week challenge, in the Facebook group that I'm starting, this week, which I talked to you about last time. Mm-hmm. And the idea that would be that there'd be two classes, that like I'll have a separate page for people to sign up for these these, I'll have a separate page for people to sign up for the challenge, but the idea is that some of the work of the challenge happens in the Facebook group. And the Facebook group is, you know, like, just part of a container that I'm starting this year in general, so it's not just for this challenge. Mm-hmm. But the challenge idea I had, I'm calling the Visibility Project. And it's, right now in my mind, like a 5-day challenge to stop hiding and start making an impact with your story.
I love it.
And so my thought was, like, day one would be a 45-minute class or maybe an hour that's helping, I'm calling it the hiding inventory. So helping people start to uncover ways that they might be hiding in their business that they're not aware of, like evaluating how clear they are on their message, how clear they are on the framework of how they're working with people, how clear they are on, you know, their website and, like, are, you know, the elements of a website in which they can hide or be visible, their About Me, their online presence. So just, I'll have kind of a more extensive list of all the ways that people can evaluate. So the class would be kind of taking them through a journey of rating themselves in these different areas, and then talking about how story can help them, you know, clarify the thing that they're here to say and start revealing themselves in this area. And then in the next day, in the Facebook group, I would invite them to kind of out themselves on what areas they've discovered, that, like, the top three areas that they're hiding. And then the second class would be about, so that might be on the third or fourth day. The second class would be to help them create a visibility project. So, like, just, like, giving them the steps to look at, like, okay, what's the one area of, like, the hiding inventory that you really want to work on this year, and mapping out, talking about the importance of having the container of a project to start getting visible, and then mapping out the steps, and then also bringing it back to story and basically explaining the program I'm about to offer that will help them do this in a deeper and more expansive way. So if I do that, I'm not really, like, teaching them about, like, how to excavate their message from their story or how to excavate their story, because that's, like, too much, right? But, yeah, I was just wondering how this idea sounds and if you have any thoughts about, like, the length of it or the, like, how to build engagement, any thoughts that come to mind.
Yeah. So I love, like, I love the ideas. Assessments are always really powerful activation tools, and then visioning, which is the second class, is always a powerful activation tool. Where I'm kind of, where it feels a little there are two places where it feels a little snaggy for me. One is when people, and this is just how the industry has been trained, is that, like, when people hear the word challenge, they're expecting, I think the expectation is, like, to do something small every day to start to, like, see a little bit of a result or something.
Right.
You know, like, post a photo of you today and talk about the story of the photo, or, you know, like, whatever.
Right.
Not based on story and visibility, it may not be what it is. Right. So that's my one thing, is, like, I like the ideas that you're putting forward, but we may not want to call it a challenge, because I think it's going to set up an expectation both in terms of result and in terms of time investment that isn't what they're going to get once they're in. And then I think you're going to lose people right away because they weren't going to be expecting to invest. You're talking about a pretty big time investment with two classes in 1 week.
Right.
So that's the one thing, is we just may want to kind of, like, reframe what this is simply because of the languaging of the industry. Mm-hmm, and then the second piece is just feeling into two classes in 1 week.
Mm-hmm,
which I think is fine if the reframe is different and that they don't have to necessarily be attached. Because we don't want people to think that they can't tune in to the second class if they haven't
right.
done the first one, because then they're lost and it's done and they're not ever going to catch up. Like, it's almost, I think it needs to be framed differently if you want to do it this way. Does that land all the things that I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. What I'm wondering about is, like, do I want to make it a challenge, in which case I could do the first week and have, like,
Yeah, so I mean, what you could, if you wanted to do it as a challenge and have some of these, this more in-depth, like, thing with you, what I do see as possible is making it 5 or 6 days long. Let's say it's 5 days long. And the first 4 days are more of these quick, like, easy and, like, easy result things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth day is I do it more than 45 minutes, you know, maybe 60 to 75 minute class. You can a little bit, I would focus mostly on the assessment, but then move into some of the visioning. Do it as, like, that's the culmination, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then invite people in to work with you. So that's one route you could take. Or another route you could take is to keep it a 5-day challenge clean, and then the next week have the class. So it's like anyone that signs up for the challenge is automatically also going to be signed up for the class, which is maybe the following Tuesday or Wednesday, but you could still also promote the class on its own. So those are some different options for you. But what's like, what's clicking for you here? What are you seeing?
So one idea is to start, like, do it as a 2-week thing where the first week there's, like, one class that kicks it off.
2 weeks too long. Too long. Too long.
Okay. I feel like I need to sit with this a little bit more. I think the big dilemma for me is to do one or two classes, because I could fit everything into one longer class, and then. But so what you're saying, like, I feel like if I start something on social media, like, without the class before it, it won't have a lot of oomph to it.
If you start something on social media,
like you were saying that if I did a 5-day challenge, the first 4 days would be like something to do every day, and then the last day is the class.
I like that
my concern
idea.
But go ahead.
Yeah, tell me what your concern is.
Well, my concern about that is that, like, I guess I can make a video or something that would just, that would be sent to anyone who signs up for the class to talk about, like, what the challenge is and why they should do it, and then they're just doing
it
leading up to the class.
Well, I don't think they would need to do the challenge in order to show up for the class.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the entire thing would be promoted is, like, you're going to get, you know, for the first 4 days, you're going to get quick, easy, actionable steps to move you forward.
And then
the icing on the cake is we're going to have 75 minutes together on Friday, too, and then you'll bullet point all the things that they would get from that class on Friday so that it's, like, a full experience, you know?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
In your daily emails and in the Facebook group, like, you know, just message to people, you know, make sure the messaging is in there. Like, even if you haven't done a thing yet, come to the call tomorrow. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
You're going to learn blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah-blah-blah-blah, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
the 4 days, I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, something I mean, at least two of the days should be something outward that they're doing on visibility, but also like two of the days can be a little bit like activating some of the gap for them, like give them an assignment to like start to uncover their story. But one, I mean, it sounds mean, but it's not. It will help them see that they need your help. Like one where like they'll get good stuff out of it, but they'll also see that they need more instruction. You know, might be a first mini step to like uncovering the story, or you know, writing down experiences that could make up the story, or I don't know, like you know, extrapolate from there. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cool. And do you think Friday is a day that's okay for like a culmination workshop? That would also be like my big sell for the program. I guess on the one hand, I'm like, oh, people.
Yeah. I know. For some people, yes. And for some people, no. I think the idea would be to have a replay. And what I would do is I would email that replay to everybody in your newsletter list, whether they signed up for the challenge or not. And as part of that, it can be the first sales email into the program as well. So we're about to do that. I'm starting a launch tomorrow for Sacred Depth Sales Method, and we're starting with a preview teleclass, which is going to be like high content, you know, like amazing. People have signed up for that, but then I'm going to send the replay out to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, my last question is, do you think there's any merit in doing the class first and then the challenge, or do you think the challenge, like the 4 days, is an important kind of gap activation?
I think it's going to be, I think it makes more sense the other way around, because it's like the class should leave them seeing their gaps and wanting more. But it's so like if you do the class and then you give them action steps for a couple days, it's going to, I think it's going to mess up the psychological process of wanting to buy something.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. And if it's okay, I might put my ideas for the 4 days, like brief descriptions, in the Facebook group, and would love
I absolutely want you to do that, and I was going to ask you to do that. Yeah, I want to see how you shape it, and I'll help you continue to shape it, and you can also get feedback from other people.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. All right. So star two, whoever wants to come forward and ask a question, and Inbal, you're up next.
Hey, Joanna. So this is a little bit vulnerable, but I wanted to talk about this first call I had with this new client yesterday that I was so excited about. I kind of felt, so basically she's pretty young. She's 28 or 29, and her marriage is breaking up. And I think that I was genuinely, so we spent a lot of the call kind of talking about how they got to where they are. And I'd heard about some of this from, you know, from my current client, her cousin. And so, you know, but obviously I wanted to like hear from her and actually like what happened. And I, you know, in terms of like next steps, you know, I think I was like a little bit confused as to how they even like got to be married or like got this far, because they don't actually communicate. And she's also one of the reasons that they're separated right now, but still living in the same apartment, haven't discussed like any of the kind of like how they want things to be, are not really like, yeah, not really committed to like going to therapy. Like he didn't show up for the appointment that they had earlier this week, blah, blah, blah. And so she's also like talking with this other guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to say to her at some point, I don't know if this was like appropriate, but I said that, because she had mentioned in the enrollment conversation that social media became like a third person in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, look, this is totally my bias. You know, it seems to me that it would be hard to focus on, you know, on your relationship with your husband and fixing that, if that's something that you want to do, or at least exploring any capacity to fix it, if you're talking to this other dude, because then there's literally a third person in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the journaling questions was like how like this relationship with this other dude is serving her, you know, but I think that like the main thing is that, you know, is that I think that she may be done, but, you know, is worried about kind of like all of the, you know, all of the consequences of that.
Yeah, the fallout.
And then, you know, the other thing that I noticed is that it's, you know, it's kind of like, I'm like, does she actually want to work on this? She just want to go?
So that's actually the first place here, Inbal. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are things you discussed in the conversation with her that you're not sharing here, but like the thing that keeps on going through my head is that it feels like you skipped over the really important part of the process of getting clear on what her intentions are. I don't just mean for the person. I mean, like, what are her intentions for, you know, discussing her marriage with you? You know, what is it that she wants to receive around her marriage? Does she want to receive solutions? Does she want to receive closure? Does she want to receive an energetic shift to, you know, so I think you don't know because you guys haven't, she may not even know, but it doesn't sound like you guys have really looked at, like, what are her intentions there?
Sorry. So her, you know, we started with the welcome questionnaire, and the first point was around figuring out whether or not to be, you know, to stay in this marriage. So that's what we looked at yesterday, because there's also kind of like a time element to it. So we just went more deeply with that first intention. And it is to figure out whether or not she wants to stay in this marriage.
Okay. Okay, good. So then there
was an agreement around like, okay, like, does it feel, you know, do you want to focus on this? Do you want to go through like the rest of the form? And because there's time pressure around this, it's just, I don't know if it's like, yeah, I don't know. I felt that, not that something was off, but I feel like it's also, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about like the background and like how they got to like to where they are over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I guess it didn't feel very like productive and kind of, yeah.
So it might be that you didn't need as much detail around all that as you got, although you tend to be pretty intuitive, and I feel like you would have redirected. I'm guessing that.
Oh, for sure. No, it was all kind of like just because.
I think she probably needed a container to express the story in. Like, just that is so valuable. And I think probably you needed to both like kind of see the details to start to understand a little bit more where to go from here, you know, and all of that. I think that your intuition, you know, always follow your hunches. So what I'm hearing you say is like you have this hunch that she, if there weren't fears in the way, she would feel more free to be done with the relationship. No, we don't want to assert that as truth, obviously. But I think it is worth doing some befriend your fear process around that, or rewiring negative thought patterns around it, but just to bring it into the conversation and start to look at some of the fears. Not so that she can leave the marriage necessarily, but that, that she's freed up more to hear into what she really wants and make some decisions. But if the fears or the negative beliefs are in the way, she's not really going to be freed up to hear what she wants.
Yeah, so do you think maybe, like, the next step is, because I asked her, like, you know, the extent that she wanted to commit to working on her current marriage, or, and she said, yeah, that she, you know, that she wanted to, and then, you know, to continue going to this therapist that they haven't been consistent with. Yeah, just, I think, to, like, kind of give it a try.
Yeah.
But I think that I also have this fear that, like, yeah, that I don't know if, like, he's being, yeah, I mean, okay, like, this, you know, this new person seems better, so I'll just, like, hop on over to them. And, you know, when really it's like, you know, she's never been alone in her life.
So you want to create awareness around all of that, not as the ultimate truth, right? But you do want to connect the dots. You know, I always say, like, whatever it is that you're thinking, so long as you check your filters on it, like, it's probably something that you want to share with the client. Again, not as truth, but to see what resonates and what doesn't. And so, and I know it's sometimes harder to do this at the beginning of a relationship, but you can also name that, say, like, we're just starting to get to know each other. We're just starting to, you know, have trust established. And, you know, I don't want to, like, you know, jump in too deep too soon, but, you know, I do have some thoughts and observations and reflections on what you've been sharing. Are you open to me sharing them with you, and we can look at them together and see what fits and what doesn't? And then once you get the green light on that, I would share some of the insights that you're sharing here on this call, you know, and say, like, it might be that this new guy is great and amazing and all of that, but what I also see is that you haven't been alone before. My sense is that there may be some fears around being alone, and sometimes when there's fear, it can cloud our decision-making process and have us jump into the next thing. You know, does any of what I'm sharing resonate for you? Is it worth us exploring?
Yeah.
And you can say, and you, this is an encouragement piece, say, because I don't have an agenda one way or another around the outcome of your marriage. You know, we'll see where that goes. But where I do, you know, have an intention is for you to be in your full empowerment and your full self as you make decisions. And so we need to look at some of these inner pieces.
Okay.
How?
So do you think there's anything that, yeah, that sounds great. And, you know, I think I said, yeah, so is there, I think I said something, I mean, not as eloquently, but, you know, I think I do have an agenda around, like, you know, yeah, I guess, or it's important for me that she has space to decide, right, and not be, like, reactive.
Yeah, so name that agenda and say, that might just be my agenda, not yours, and so I want to bring it forward. Like, is that your intention, too? because I don't want to bark up this tree if that's not what you want for yourself.
Okay.
So
like based on,
yeah.
So based on what I shared, is there any like follow-up that I need to do?
When's your next session?
We're actually connecting, every week for now.
Oh, great. Okay. And to remind me, I know you shared, what was the homework that you gave her again?
Well, the homework was to communicate with her husband, you know, around like, because she said that she does want to do therapy and there were questions about whether to stay with this person. And it was just kind of like decide if this is something that you, if the therapy is something that you want to do or not. And to journal on how her relationship with this other guy is serving her right now.
I think because you're meeting again next, like if you weren't meeting for a couple of weeks, I might say to send a longer email and share some of these insights in the email or hop on the phone quick and share the insights and then give her some homework, you know, but I think because you're meeting next week, it's fine. Like I think what you gave her for now is good. And then I would, start to steer the conversation in the ways that we're talking about today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Let's see who's next. Star 2 to raise your hand for whatever questions you have. I think this is Nicole, but I'm not sure. First three numbers are 316.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. This is Nicole.
It is Nicole. I thought so. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I have a question about making a no-brainer, an offer you can't refuse. I talked to a potential client this week, and, well, she's an ideal client. She's I really, really love to work with her. So, we talked about one-on-one coaching, and I also offer a retreat in Spain. And I think both are perfectly for her, and she's very interested in both. So she asked me to make an offer for the both of them, and of course I want to make an offer she can't refuse. So I thought, how do I do this? Because I did this thing, I think, well, a few years ago, but my pricing was different then. So how do you make an offer you can't refuse? So I'd like to add some extras and, I thought of some things, but maybe you can help me in this.
Yeah, well, tell me what you thought about so far.
Well, my one-on-one coaching normally for half a year or 6 or 7 months is 5,000 euros. And this is all included. So it's everything included, all the calls, all the I do live meetings because the Netherlands is not that big and she lives in the same area as I do, so we meet live.
Oh, nice.
And it's a whole package. It's normally 5,000 euros and the retreat in Madrid normally is 3,500 euros. So well, those are two prices, but what would be a good price for her? And some extra bonuses. She asked me because she was very enthusiastic during our live meeting, and she said, "Oh my God, everybody should be coached by you. I've got a sister; she's an entrepreneur as well. I'd like to give her a present. What does it cost when I give her one call with you?" So I thought, well, maybe I can do some bonus and include a call with her sister because she's an entrepreneur as well. Maybe it's a good bonus to
add
this one.
That would really end up being more of like a sales call in a way.
Yeah. Some coaching call for one dilemma.
Yeah, but still it would be a way to activate her. So
I was thinking about these things, And of course, a discount.
For the retreat, do you pay, does the 3,000 cover just your services, or does it cover like a hotel or, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, it covers everything, including meals, including drinks. The only thing it doesn't cover is the flight. so they can decide if they when they want to come.
How much do you pay per person for the retreat? Like, what are your costs per person for the retreat?
Around 1,000, 1,200. Well, between 1,000 or 1,200. Depends a little bit on the restaurants I go to and the reservations I make. And I always like to add something extra. So, well, let's say 1,200 euros.
1,200. And it's 3,000 for the whole thing. That's what they're paying?
3,500. And 3,500. The retreat is a three-month program. It also includes live meetings in the Netherlands and also a one-on-one coaching call with me. So it's kind of a package.
Got it. Okay. I would offer her the 6 months and the retreat and the bonus call for her sister. And give, so normally if the costs for the retreat, your costs for the retreat wouldn't be high, I would say give her, take 50%. Off of the retreat, so she would be paying 5,000 plus like 1750, whatever 3,500 divided into two is, you know, 1750. Because your costs are somewhat high for the retreat, that's not leaving you much profit there. So we could raise that a little bit, like depending on what feels aligned for you.
So in total, I and it comes up to one pricing. What will be the total of that? Because I'm very bad in mathematics.
So again, if you didn't have such a high cost per person for the retreat, I would say give her 50% off the retreat.
Ah, okay.
So we could be at about $67.50 for the retreat, or anywhere between a half and two thirds, honestly. So, you know, at minimum $67.50 up to, my math isn't that great, but yeah, $7,600 for both.
I know
somewhere
what you mean.
In there, maybe a little bit on the higher end of that because your costs are high. Plus, she's getting that extra call for her sister. And I think if she's so, you know, I love what you're saying, like to make a no-brainer. And honestly, a no-brainer is less about the cost and what's included and more about the results that the person desires and how much they believe that the work with you is going to yield the results. So I wouldn't add any other pieces in. I would give a little bit of a discount, but not any deeper than what we're talking about. It's really about activating the desire for the results and the trust in you and in herself to work together to create them. Is that helpful to think about?
Yeah, very helpful because, of course, price is important, but I always I'd like to write, as you know. So I made an offer. In a way, I wrote it down really well. In a way, it meets her desires. So I described the results, I described the value, and I listened very carefully to her language and to what she was saying she'd like to, the goal she has for next year. And I think I can really do this. I was very enthusiastic.
So
we have to start. So.
Great. So when you send her the information, before you give her the numbers and what's included, list out those pieces that she was excited about, you know, about creating for herself and, you know, how you're going to do it together. Then share with her the package and let her know that you normally don't give a special, you know, rate on the retreat. You can say, especially because my expenses for the retreat, you know, I have expenses in it, but I just as we saw together the other day, doing these two together is going to be a power combination for you. And because of that, I'm so excited to offer it to you.
Yeah. I love this. Yeah. Really helps. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
you're
thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. Tara.
Can you hear me, Joanna?
I can.
Awesome. So I wanted to get feedback on a client who turns out she really has a lot of anxiety, and she really I never suggested this. She basically quit her job to pursue entrepreneurship in a way that feels somewhat ungrounded to me. She went to a retreat and it was all about you can do anything, and she just decided to quit her social work job.
Yeah.
And
as you know, that's one of my rants against the industry. But anyway, keep on going.
I know. I don't ever suggest that until somebody's making money. So anyhow, that is what it is. And at the same time, she's going off of medications, which is also very concerning. And then she wanted to create a summit that was a natural mood summit, because she is definitely passionate about people getting off of medications. She's a health coach too. And she created the summit, and then she went back on medications and feels like a fraud now, having a summit that's about transitioning off medications and natural mood. And she's talking to a lot of naturopaths, and anyhow, she has a lot of people lined up there, but she's feeling like a fraud. And because of her high level of anxiety, she keeps asking questions like, what do I do next? What's the copy? And I asked the tech company, have you spoken with her? Because I was encouraging people to speak with them every 2 weeks to make sure they're on top of what they need for the summit. And they said that they went over it with her twice, what she needed to do. And and she has a copywriter who will be helping her. And she's just keeps asking, what should I do? And it's I don't know. I mean, I do think it would be helpful. And I asked the tech company, what exactly did you tell her to do? But other than that, I feel like she does need a higher level of support. I feel like her brain is probably really crashing out right now too, with all these back and forth with medication, not medication. I mean, I know just from my background in psychology, that could be very challenging for the brain. And I did try to really normalize that, for many people who go off medications, this is part of the process. That sometimes, you get off, you make some progress, and then it turns out you're not totally in that place of stability. And it's a good idea to have the support and to really, look at the treatment plan that's in place. And I encourage her to get a therapist. I encourage her to work closely with her doctor. And she's also going to not have insurance when in a very short period of time. So that's the complexity of this person. I do feel some concern about her given all this. And she feels very isolated right now. She has a lot more time. Her kids are at school. She's just working on her summit, and just has a lot of anxiety about the whole process.
Yeah. So it sounds like so far you've done such a good job of validating her, normalizing her experience for her, which she needs for herself, but also to feel fully present and empowered, to put on the summit, since it's that topic, so that she doesn't feel like a fraud. And it sounds like you've also done a really good job in your due diligence around suggesting the therapist, which it sounds like in this moment, it sounds like some of the anxiety really is outside of the scope of coaching in the moment for her right now. And so, you want to continue to encourage her with that. Mm-hmm. And I guess so I have some other ideas, which I'm going to share with you. But before I do, what I want to say is you can only do as much as you can do unless she does her part too. I don't want you to take over responsibility here. It sounds to me what's really important for her is to have a therapist and also to have some practices in place, whether it's meditation or breathing or journaling or, you know, whatever is going to be right for her. That's not, obviously those things don't eliminate the anxiety altogether right away, but she needs to start containing, creating some containers for herself around this too. So I give you some suggestions, but this is not, I just don't want you to go into savior mode or over-responsibility mode and to really meet her where she's at, while of course, like, fiercely, lovingly, you know, encouraging her to do these things. So that being said, you know, if you can help her create some containers to, you know, calm her nerves, I know you know about some of this, like it's a little bit in your expertise. Or if you don't, you know, that's another thing. You can encourage her to find a therapist that can help her with that. But just to maybe create a daily ritual around this or twice a day, you know, and some of them on the more coaching spectrum of things is like for her to spend a few minutes every day writing why she's excited about this project, writing what's going well. You can do even though nevertheless with her. You know, for her to just be having that as a touch base every day to help with the anxiety, to look at the celebrations, to look at the resources, to look at the excitement and the passion. And then also, you know, sometimes what is really helpful when someone is in that state is to get some of the anxiety out of their brain and onto the paper, like to just make a bullet list of the things that she's concerned about that day so that she can look at, like, so number one, they're just not just rolling around in her head, like it's a way to express, but number two, it may help her see some of them more realistically and see some solutions to some of the things. So all that on the inner, and then on the outer, it feels like, I don't know if the tech company can help her with this, or the, like, I'm wondering if you should be, again, I know I just said don't take over responsibility, but you may, and this is not over responsibility, but if you want to just put a little bit of extra in this moment right now, I just wonder if you should be directly in touch with the copy person, like maybe just organize
I'm trying to do her
a little bit, since it feels like right now she just, that level of organization and overseeing isn't going to work for her. You can just do it and gift her with that, or you can tell her, you know, I really kind of like want to help you with this piece. It's a little time-consuming, you know, can we use, you know, like, I'm happy to exchange this for one of your sessions or two of your sessions, you know, it, so you can just gift it to her and do it, or however it's going to feel good for you, so you don't feel like you're overworking, you know, that it's not a good exchange for you. But, you know, I would, you know, if it was a more advanced entrepreneur, I would say, hire someone, but it sounds like where she is right now, that's probably not the best idea for her, but she does need like an organization person for this project a little bit. How did all of that land for you?
That sounds good. Can you remind me of that exercise, the even though nevertheless exercise?
Yep. So it's a really good exercise for rewiring negative thought patterns. And it's like, even though there's 20 things to do today, nevertheless, I know the top priorities are these three things, and I'm going to get through them. Even though there's 20 things to do today, right? So the even though is like whatever she's anxious about, right? So even though X, whatever she's saying, nevertheless, I'm really excited to do these tasks because they're going to move me forward. Even though there's so much to do today, nevertheless, I know that I can call Tara or I can email Tara and get support if I need it. So to do 5 or 10 on the same topic of the even though nevertheless.
Okay, so the even though is the X is the thing you're anxious about, and the nevertheless is like the step you can take or
exactly.
The concrete.
Yeah, so that it moves out of the black and white thinking, like it's all bad, right? But most people
right.
are always just in the even though part. So
right.
adding the nevertheless to the equation kind of brings it out of the black and white thinking.
Right. Okay, that sounds really good. And I am on top of trying to connect the tech people and the copywriting people to be sure we're on the same page with supporting her and making sure she understands what's next.
Excellent. Good. And I think
That's helpful.
You know, yeah, I think that's obviously there's more inner, you know, pieces that you can go into, but my sense is that until she has some support in helping her like manage getting back on the medication, some therapy support, like any of the other pieces you do, they're not going to penetrate because she's not in a stable enough. She needs to be in a more stable place first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. All right. Let's see who's next. It's star two if you've got a question. Adina.
Hi, Joanna. Thanks. So I wanted to talk about, get your input about an opportunity that's come up. So as you know, I live in a pretty small town, and I've disconnected a lot from New York City and Brooklyn, where I had, you know, strong community for a long time, but where also I feel like the market for coaching is so saturated. And so I've been wanting to connect in to the closest city to me, closest big city, which is Albany. And so I recently joined the food co-op there, which has about, I think, like 18,000 members. It's really huge, and it's a really wonderful community. And they have a lot of practitioners and educators that do their shifts by offering their services. And there are two ways of doing that. It's either a weekly or a monthly commitment. And if you do the weekly, it's really like an enormous, savings on food. And so it there's a real benefit to doing it, but also it felt like a really great way to just get connected into that community and just more practice in my coaching. And so I met with them this week, and they're excited about it, and we're just sort of ironing out what that would look like, which there are a couple of different options, one of which is a group format and one of which is a one-on-one, and then the third being some combination of those two. I haven't done any group coaching yet. The safer, obviously, option would be the one-on-one, but then there are still questions around how to structure that and also, you know, whether to use it as an opportunity to get them.
Right. So, I mean, from a business standpoint, if we were to just look at this from, like, magnetize more. First of all, yay, I love this opportunity. I was forever a member at the Park Slope Co-op in Brooklyn. We couldn't do that. We just have to do our shifts and stock.
Right.
So this is amazing. I love it. So from a, you know, if we look at this just from like a magnetizing clients perspective, like 100% the way to go would be the group, because it would expose you to more people, but not, you wouldn't be giving away the big bonanza, and there would likely be people in the group who would want to go further and deeper with you in the one-on-one, and there could actually be like a money exchange, and they could, you know, invest in your services. But that being said, the question is, you know, do you desire to do that? And I get that there's a learning curve. But I think it's interesting that the opportunity is being brought up, you know. Do you desire and are you willing to stretch yourself a little bit? And I have no agenda. If you say no, I trust that that's aligned for you. I mean, I might, you know, we can look at some fears, but, you know, what do you desire?
I am interested in stretching in that direction. And they do, you know, regardless of which route I take, they do definitely want me to do an initial group session, you know, to just introduce the work. So I have started thinking about how I would structure that. And then I guess the question, you know, the other benefit I can see of doing the one-on-ones is that, you know, if I were to do a combination, like maybe every other week do a group session and every other week do one-on-ones, that I could use those one-on-ones as, you know, as initials, initial, essentially structure them basically like sales calls, you know, or sessions, because otherwise there wouldn't be a real container around it. And that's, you know, so that's what I'm struggling with, you know, if I were to do the one-on-one,
I misunderstood what you meant by one-on-one. I thought like I was misunderstanding what they wanted by one-on-ones. I see it's almost like a little bit of a pop-up, like not someone is going to sign up for 10 sessions with you, but it goes session by session kind of thing.
Well, that's the question. I mean, I think I could say it would have to be a, you know, X number minimum. You know, that's what I'm sort of working at. They don't really have a precedent for that. You know, that the one-on-ones that they offer is more like, you know, Reiki and, you know, massage and things that are, you know, conducive to one-off. So I'm just sort of, you know, brainstorming about how to structure something like this and create, create enough of a container around it. And because there isn't, because there isn't a money exchange, they did say that there is, they do have a big issue with, like, people not showing up, and they're working on that on their side, you know, to figure out. So there's a lot of moving parts, and within
remind me of like the main things that your people come to you for. Like, what are some of the big results that they want?
People generally are like on the verge of venturing into entrepreneurship, like, moving deeper into it, you know, maybe have something on the side, and working towards making it a full-time venture, but sort of really early stage, you know, aspiring and early stage entrepreneurs that are, taking the next step.
And are you supporting them, like, are you supporting them on the business end of things?
I am on both. I mean, it's really pretty holistic. So depending on the person, sometimes it's really more focused just on the business, but often it is, we do work on bigger picture life, you know, wellness relationships, whatever is called to be looked at.
So here's an idea. Here's an idea. I like this idea, but we'll see what you think. And how many hours do you have to put in each week? Like, what's the requirement for the exchange?
It'll be 3 to 4.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. What if, like, every 3 months, or it could be every other month, you do a workshop on a topic related, and then the rest of that quarter you offer a one-on-one that is this is going to help activate people's gap in vision. So this isn't going to be it exactly, but like I would name it, you know, I'm thinking about like what you're sharing about the entrepreneurs. So it can be, you know, if it's for new entrepreneurs, it can be like vision your business strategy session, and the description can talk about inner and outer pieces. And so they get value from the session because you help them, you know, maybe get clear on some of their strengths and their talents and what they're passionate about and the change they want to make in the world, and, you know, a little bit of the vision, but then you also help them get clear on like what's standing in their way and what some of the obstacles are. And then that's kind of the kind of perfect, you know, entree into if they want to go deeper with you. So, you know, it may not be that topic exactly, but people, you know, to kind of make it around a topic that your ideal client is important to them, and call it like strategy or blueprinting session or visioning, you know, that usually will attract someone. So that every other month or every third month, people are kind of having this group experience with you, and they may from that want to sign up for this one-off calls. And then you know, also just these one-off calls are being promoted, you know, through the co-op anyway.
Right. So having the one-off stick to the theme of the workshop.
Yeah, which would shift a little bit.
Right.
Maybe, you know, with each workshop, so one workshop can be for totally new people who haven't started their business yet. That can be more along the visioning and the, you know, lines and all of that. And then the next time it can be, you know, for entrepreneurs who are overwhelmed and they need to create more space. And then you can kind of design a one-off that's activating around that, you know, and you can kind of like switch it up every couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Right.
Awesome. I think that will work really well because you're getting people in different ways, and then, you know, giving them kind of this experience that's more of like a launching pad experience.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
Sounds good. I'll work with that. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Adina, one last thing.
Yeah.
Three or four hours a week, to me that is a lot. I mean, if it's worth all the groceries, that's awesome. It was a little bit different.
It is a lot.
So I just, what I want to say is like, if you're not, if it's, that's, you know, after test this out for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
if it's not really yielding, you know, don't just keep on doing it. So anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the discount for that level of commitment is pretty enormous. It's like 25%. And so it, you know, versus if I were to do 3 hours a month, it's like, you know, a quarter of that, you know. So I definitely need to suss out, whether it's actually worth it. But I felt like, you know, I'm interested in giving it a try.
I totally think it's worth a try, 100%.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Leah. Leah, are you there?
I am.
Oh, okay. Great. Hi. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's great to be on the call. Okay, so I'm having a hard time, like, in a lot of ways with my own mind around scarcity and money coming in. And, like, I'm I'm definitely feeling like I really need, or I really want the clients I do have signing up for consult calls actually enrolling. But then I have a hard time, like I coach on those calls, I listen through it and everything, and I have a hard time with any like tactics of like putting on any sort of pressure on the sales call. You know, I'm just like very much trying to like give it over to them. Like yesterday I had a sales call that went super well, and she was like, oh my gosh, I definitely want to work with you. And I almost pushed, I felt like I was pushing her away. Because she had said that, like, they're saving up for their new house and this and that and the other. And, like, I was like, oh, you should definitely talk to your husband first and this and that. And she kept, like, putting herself first. And, like, my own, like, kind of anxiety lately and filter around I feel, like, tight with money lately. Almost in a way, like, I put that back on her. And that was the first time in that call that – It didn't just feel like totally awesome, natural, like, you know, we were coaching around like what she wanted help with. I could tell that she really was like ready to step up for herself. And rather than just like letting her do that, her being like, I would, you know, drop this in, you know, 2 seconds for my child or my husband, I like kind of pushed that off like, oh wait, like you better, you better talk to him. And then I didn't hear from her today. And so I'm trying to just stay, like, very open in my mind. Like, she was very much willing, ready, in integrity in her statement. And if we're meant to work together, we will. She'll come back around. But it was an interesting, like, learning moment for me. I'm like, wow, I am, like, not a closer. I'm just like, oh, let's give you lots of options. And I kind of, like, took her away from her power.
Yeah. So first of all, I just really want to acknowledge you for being able to see what's going on here, because that says to me that you're really ready to shift it, or else I think it would just be in your blind spot and you would just be frustrated about what's going on. But it's so clear that you can kind of see some of the patterning that's happening here for you and the energetics and the mindset pieces. So I think that's actually such a good sign, you know, as opposed to if you were like coming to this call and your question was like, it's just, I can't close a sale and I don't know what's going, you know, it's like you see it.
Yeah, I know it. I know it's totally energetics, because when I'm in the conversation, I'm like there, I'm grounded, I'm present with her. I can like coach her through all the things that like are keeping her stuck. And then I get stuck in my own stuff at the end.
So first thing is check your filters. Like in any, you know this in Sacred Depths, I talk about it with coaching calls, but in sales calls too, first thing, check your filters. And second thing, trust your prospect.
Yeah.
If she feels excited to make this work with you a priority, trust that she knows herself and what she needs.
Yeah.
And now that you're calling yourself out post that situation, it's going to be easier for you to start calling yourself out in the conversation and hold yourself back from doing it.
Yeah. Because in a way, it was like, it was good that from the very start of the conversation, she kind of laid out, like, you know, that they have been really tight with money. Because it made me think, like, okay, I'm just going to be really open. Maybe this is the only session I give her. So I'm going to give her as much value to coach her to where she needs to be. And then I didn't even see, like, her relationship with money is obviously different than mine. And her ability to, like, make a big decision and investment for herself was, like, right there. And I, you know, that was where I thought I was being open-minded at the start of the conversation, but it, like, steered me in the wrong direction.
Well, I think what it allowed you to be in the right energetics
okay.
in the beginning of the conversation, but then when it came round to asking for the money, it put you in the wrong energetics. So, call yourself out. There are a couple of things here. So, like I said so far, call yourself out, check your filters, trust, right? Like, trust your client or your prospect, I should say. What is the belief around money that you would like to have with this particular prospect?
I would like to have, sorry, just stepped outside, it's a little noisy. I would like to have this belief that my work is valuable and worth what I'm asking, and she will be able to step into herself by making that commitment. Like, everything that she said were big goals and priorities for her, like the taking care of herself first, and, like, you know, she kind of has like that mom, you know, spot where she's been a lot of years of like the martyr, and she's ready to change that.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to believe, like, that making the commitment and the financial commitment to herself is what really is going to make her make the commitment energetically to the transformation.
Beautiful. I want you to write that down right now. We'll all hold, because that's so important. That belief is so important, what you just said. So write that down.
Okay. Yeah, because that...
And then from there, let's just keep on going with this. Give me one piece of evidence that lets you know that what you wrote down is true, from the conversation with her or for what you know about mothers in general. Give me a piece of evidence that lets you know that this belief is actually true.
Her statement of that she would do it for anyone else in her family, and she was ready to show up for herself first.
Yes. You can see
that. She even said she was ready. Like, she said, ready. Like, okay, I'm ready. Like,
yeah.
And so that's where I need to, like, hold that space. Like, that her saying ready is sincere and empowering, and I need to let her be empowered, not say,
yeah,
oh, you'll be ready after you have this conversation, yeah, with the man in your life.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I want you to really keep that top of mind, and I think that's what you just said is probably advice, that wisdom that you need for yourself as well, right?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. So I would journal on that to bake it in a bit more. And then on the tactical side of things, there are a couple of things I just want to suggest that I think will help with
okay.
the sale. So number one, I would send her an email today.
Okay.
And I would just let her know it was so wonderful to connect with her, that you just really – want to honor her, blah, 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 just name some things that were amazing about her, you know, really have her, help her feel seen. And then from there say, you know, I really, it was so, I'm so glad that we were able to take a look at XYZ, you know, whatever the things that she really wants or
mm-hmm.
the things that are holding her back, and say, and I could really hear how ready you are to create this or to overcome it, if it's the things that were holding her back. I heard how ready you are to create this, and it is amazing to witness a mother who gets that putting herself first is going to serve everyone in her life. And then from there, in the note, you can say, I know that you were taking a few days to think on all of this, to maybe connect with your partner, let's set a time to reconnect and see where you're at. Would one of these times work for you? And then offer her a time, you know, Thursday, Friday,
yeah.
You know, whenever. So that's, you know, there's a lot of things in what I just said. Number one, we never want to leave a sale open-ended. If someone is interested, we don't just get off the phone with them and wait for them to get back to us. We always want to set a second time to connect before we get off the phone, to keep the container tight.
And she actually tried to do that more than I did.
Well, okay,
it'll be a really good excuse for us to talk again. And I was like, I need to, like, set that time that we're going to talk again, because she asked for that.
Exactly. So, and if a client doesn't, you set it. Like, make sure I always do that before I get off the phone.
There's that good container.
I give homework.
Okay.
You know, if I'm not going to make the sale on that call, I give homework, and we set a time to speak in a few days. So, and then the sending her the email is just going to keep her in the container, let her know that you're thinking about her. It's going to help her feel seen and acknowledged. It's going to remind her of her readiness. It's going to remind her of what she really wants, her gap in her, you know, all the things, right?
Yeah.
So I want you to do all of that and get back on the phone with her and ask her, you know, you get back on the phone, set intentions, and then, you know, ask her what's really been resonating for her since you last spoke and what does she feel most excited about, and then ask her where she's at in her decision-making process.
Okay.
And go from there. You may have to work with some resistance. You have in Sacred Depths, Leah, as a bonus, a five-hour training that I do on authentic sales.
I have listened to some of that.
Okay.
But I should go back and find, like, the conversations and stuff. Because I like your style more than any other of the, like, coaching through conversations. Because, like, all that resistance and shadow work always comes up.
Yeah.
I don't like just, like, pushing my own agenda. But I also want to make sure that my filter isn't blocking.
Totally, totally. So the first hour is about, like, the inner work that you have to do. But then from there, I actually want you to go through the whole process again, because I heard you say earlier a few minutes ago, like, it may have been the only conversation that you got with her, and so you wanted to coach her as much as possible. That's not... that's great, but I want to make sure that...
But not helpful.
Right. I want to make sure that you're inserting all of the elements that need to be inserted into the journey that it takes someone to get to the point of buying. And you coach them throughout, but there are very specific elements that you want to have in there. So it's worth the time to go through the training again.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank
you. Send that email today and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, great. That was a great, great conversation. I could, like, feel the energy, like, the anxiety for me, like, just subside. I was like, okay, I got this.
You do.
Because I definitely
totally
gotten worked up in my head.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Awesome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. We have time for, we do have more hands raised. Good. I was going to say, we've got a little bit of time. I'm going to keep on going. Tammy, I got you, and then Michelle, if you can hang on a couple minutes past 2:30, I'm going to get you too. Tammy.
Hi.
Hi.
You hear me? You can hear me all right, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good, because I'm, like, hiding in the basement.
From your children? I've done that before.
Exactly. So I... I have so many things, but what I'm thinking about is I volunteered because I'm have so much free time to do a mama blessing for someone who I feel has done a lot of work. You know, it's like a freebie. It was kind of like a way for me to kind of play with blessing way without feeling like pressure of money. And, you know, I'm excited to do it. So it's on Friday, and I just kind of wanted to throw kind of what I'm thinking out at you and just get a sense of, I don't know, what you think. So, so it's a mom who's due, she's 38 weeks, and we sat down. I know her really well because we spent like the last, you know, the minute she got pregnant, we started working together because this is
Does
the she second baby. And
second baby.
Yeah. Second. And, you know, she was very clear, like, the things she wanted to work through with this pregnancy so that it's different. And, you know, what she's really come to is that she's trusting her knowing and everything is simple if she can just stay out of her head, you know. And so she, it's me doing the blessing and it's her, and then she has six friends that are joining. And it was really interesting, like, just the dynamic of that, because all of them, of course, like, had ideas and wanted to do things, and I was like, wait, I'm doing the blessing here. So I spoke with the person who I'm doing it for and got really clear on, like, what she wanted, and then I kind of reached out to them and just said, like, this is what we're doing, and this is how you guys, you know, I know you guys want to participate, and this is, like, how you can, and blah, blah, blah. So the goal is, like, I'll do, like, a welcome. My idea is, this is her second time being a mother, and, like, all this has been, like, all about her knowing. So I'm kind of welcoming in, like, the queen mother for this blessing way. So the setup is kind of, like, her, it'll be a circle, but she's kind of the center. Like, she's the center. So have, like, fabric and pillows, and, like, we'll kind of surround her. And basically I'll do a welcome and, you know, kind of set the container in that kind of way. And then do some sort of, like, meditation or song to kind of get us in our bodies. And the opening ritual after that was just to kind of have everybody say their name and reflect what they see in her, because part of what she said she wanted was to be heard and to be seen. And I felt like if she's stepping into her queen and really wants to really be in her knowing, it's important that she, you know, receives that, even if it's hard. So I thought it would be nice for everybody to kind of say their name and kind of tell her what they see in her transition in motherhood. Sorry, my cats are fighting down here. I don't have kids, but I have cats in the background fighting. So
as part of that, share what they love about her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, we're going to have lots of flowers and stuff. So I figured maybe each person would have a flower. So when they say their name and they say what they're going to say, they could go up to her and give her a hug and a kiss. And I put the flower down just to kind of, again, like, adorn her and, like, really, like, let her be felt. My other idea is, like, that's, like, solid for me, was she wants to hear, like, positive stories about birth or motherhood, you know, fun stories. And I don't want it to be, like, everything's perfect, because part of her thing is, like, she doesn't want to feel shame if it doesn't work out the way she has hoped it to happen. So I kind of explained to them, like, the stories that they should share, like, just kind of really keeping it contained in a certain kind of way. But I thought it would be nice to, like, we're going to have, like, chocolate strawberries, and, like, she's into, like, grapefruit, so we're going to have some sort of grapefruit tonic, and everybody will kind of share, I think, at that point, because, like, we've created the container, we've, like, opened the floor, she's the centerpiece, and then we can kind of share. And then I thought I would do a cleansing. I was thinking, like, a sponge bath with, like, orange, like, essential oil. And I don't know how that's really going to work, because, like, she's not going to be naked. But, like, that was kind of, like, where I was going in my mind, was, like, clearing her.
You can do a way to do that is to do, like, a feet washing, which is, like, you know, kind of like a sacred cleansing in a lot of different traditions. So
okay.
She doesn't have to get fully naked, but it can be, but it's still a way to do a cleansing bath type of thing.
And like, would it be like a silent kind of thing, or I don't know? It's like I want to cleanse. Like I want
maybe
each person
each
to
woman,
kind of cleanse.
Maybe
her.
Each woman can, you know, do a sponge or two, and for each woman that goes, she can, the woman who's pregnant can name something that she wants to be cleansed.
Mm.
In order to be fully present for the birth. So it can be a belief or a fear or a thing, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, I like that. And then I like the idea of what we spoke about in the retreat about leaving with candles that we've kind of set intention so that when she does go into labor, like we can all light them.
Yeah.
So that was kind of going to be like the ending ritual. Yeah,
I think it sounds, I love it. I think it all sounds really beautiful. The only piece that I, well, two pieces I would add.
I have to do a blessing.
Right. So, okay. That was one.
Sorry,
that.
Forgot that.
Yeah. So.
It's there in my mind. I just didn't put it on my paper. Sorry.
Right. So do the actual blessing. And then, you know, it really struck me that you said that she really wants to be seen. In her wisdom. And so you may want to have a part where she just gets to speak some of the wisdom. I mean, she's a mama already, like where she, as that queen mother, speaks her wisdom, what she knows about going through the process of birth or the first months after the baby or whatever. And to just really have as a way for her to own that wisdom, be seen in the wisdom, and then bring it into the birth with her.
Cool. Okay. That might be good then, like after the cleansing and before the blessing.
Yeah. It sounds beautiful.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. I'll let you know how it goes.
Awesome. I'm really glad you're doing it. Good. Good, good.
Thank you.
All right. And Michelle, if you're still here, I'm going to take you. Let's see. You are still here. Yay. Oh, wait. Hold on. Having a technical issue. All right. There you go. Hi.
Okay. Hi. Happy New Year. I couldn't be on the last call, so here's my shot at it.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking on Messenger, and, you know, asked me, I was about the question of feeling really stressed out and a non-equal playing field. I realized that it's that, you know, age-old adage in my head that nobody likes me. But I do think that what's happened is that I'm getting clearer about how that kind of drags me around in all sorts of places that I didn't think I was being dragged in, places I didn't think I was going. So I think taking time off. So what I've done this semester is I built in every single day that my son is off, I've taken off, or any half day or whatever. His school has all these days off.
Awesome.
So I'm taking that off, and I think that will help. I wanted to, because I'm trying to expand my business, I actually don't have that much time in the week. So I was like, I'll handle Saturday hours. I'll do some Saturday hours, right? It'll be one semester and then hopefully done. It turns out, because of all the days off I'm trying to take off, that it's about one Saturday a month, which is probably okay, right? That's probably all that I should expand it, I'm thinking. And then the only other thing is to figure out office hours with students, but I think I have a solution for that wouldn't cut into client time. Like I could meet with students right before my evening class. And that would actually make a big, that would help to maximize the amount of time I have for clients. Those are the solutions I came up with for having a little more time for clients and not running myself completely ragged. I think for myself, what I'm going to have to be careful of is just because I'm, so often if I don't allow clients to be scheduled for a given day, what I will do is do the work on my business instead of in my business. And I think I have to figure out how to negotiate with myself to not just decide to go jump in and work. Because I don't overgive to clients. I bust my ass when I'm not with clients. That's how this overwork stuff will show up. So I don't have a real question. I just wanted to update you with that.
I'm glad. I have some questions for you. So first of all of that sounds awesome. And I think it will create more space for you. And when you say that you want to grow your business, just tell me what you mean by that. Like, do you want more clients? Do you want more groups? Like,
what I'm trying to do is, so the academic side is more running itself, right? I have a couple institutional clients and I'm getting work through that. Where I'm training my attention is pulling lawyers into my coaching practice.
Got it.
So I want to have space for lawyers to come in as regular one-on-one clients. I don't feel that I'm at a point where I can put them in a group because I mean, I know their issues, but I haven't done enough work with them to know.
Yeah, you still want
it. This is a group program for them. I don't have that.
Yeah,
feel
that. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, I'm just taking it in. So the plan sounds really good. The part where I'm hesitating is, I guess, because I just didn't hear you say anything about space for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm connecting that both to your time as well as to the being on that deeper level, the fear that nobody likes you. As a fellow fearer that nobody likes me, one of the things I know is that when I'm not making some time and space to be loving on myself, whether that's to get a massage or journaling or ritual or whatever it is, or just lay on the couch, blah, nothing, that fear, it's easier for that fear to be more active. Plus, also, I don't want you to be overworking. So mm-hmm. that's just like, my question, yeah, I don't even know what the question is. The question is, what about time for you?
So, except for this morning, which is a different, it's a whole weird scenario, but every morning I wake up and I meditate and I pray in the morning just so I clear that, just don't start with that. I do that immediately. I unplug. So on Sundays, I'm really good at this. On Sundays, I unplug and I'm not online. I will knit, I'll read, you know, I'll go to church. And that's it. I'm going to add in, given that my teaching schedule is different and screws with me in some ways, I'm adding in some meal prep, but I love to cook. And that will pull the pressure off of cooking during the week if I do that. So Sunday is a day that I do it, and I can't tell you that I've been great about figuring out how to do it during the week. Like I do want to implement something like where once a month I take a bath. And I love doing that. I've done that for a couple months now, but I'd love to do that. And then yesterday I was co-leading a workshop with somebody and she talked about creating buffer times. And so during those buffer times, I can, like, they're designed to catch up on the things that I didn't do. But if there's nothing to do, then I, you know, take a nap.
Right, you don't just find more things.
Right, exactly.
So I'd say, like, in addition to everything else you're talking about, if you can commit to these two things, like continue with the monthly bath, maybe, I don't know if we can even push it to, like, every 3 weeks instead of every 4 or something like that, and then start working on the buffer time, I think that's going to help with everything.
Okay.
And
I put my calendar already, like that went in, that in the meal prep, that's already in my calendar.
Awesome. So put the baths in the calendar too.
Okay.
I think it's really good stuff. And I think, Michelle, that even your willingness to, like, make all these shifts that you're talking about, it speaks a lot to the inner work that you've been doing to be willing to make shifts and make the space. So very well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think like over the holidays, I got really clear. I'm like, oh, this really runs my life in some really insidious, not clear ways to me. And it's like, now it's much more, I mean, it was clear before, but like, it's like, oh, I know.
You got it now.
I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. All right. Yeah. Get out of the corner.
Good. Keep me posted.
All right. Well, dude, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Great call today. Thanks for all that you brought forward. Thinking about all of you, let me know what you need. I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.